Okay, we're starting in the middle of Ayin Gimel Amud Bet. We're in the middle of trying to understand this machloket. We had a machloket Rav and Shmuel in the case of Kidsha Al Tnai. He gets engaged to her under a condition, and then Kinsasta. And then he marries her without stipulating the condition. So Rav says she needs a get, and Shmuel says she doesn't need a get. Okay, so what's the machloket? First, we had Abaye's reason. Abaye said, according to Rav, she needs a get from the marriage because the assumption is, even though, this is obviously in the case where the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, even though he stipulated the Tanai at the beginning, because he then married her, ein adam osebi latobi latznu. And therefore, the assumption was, he was marrying her, like it was... actually explain that the bi'ilah becomes the bi'ilah of kiddushin. In other words, it kind of cancels out the other kiddushin. Shmuel says, ein atzricha get, because the Tanai wasn't mekuyah. Comes Rabba, and Rabba says, no, you misunderstood. Everyone agrees that if this was the same woman, the case we just discussed, that she wouldn't need a get, because the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. No commitment, you know, no Tanai fulfilled, it doesn't work. It must be a case where there was one woman he was kichal Tanai, and then the second woman, right, which then we rejected, is not the second woman, but it's one woman as if it was two women, meaning they were married, divorced, remarried. He didn't stipulate the condition the second time. And then that's what happened. And on that, they have a machloka. So now the whole question, now we're going to have a lot of questions of Abaye on this explanation of Rava. And he's going to, Rava, and how could he say, this is going to be the whole premise, that Isha Achat, okay, if this was all one woman, then everyone would agree that Eina Tzricha Get. Okay, Kulei Alma, Eina Tzricha Get. And we're going to see a bunch of cases where they're going to compare it to something like this and say it can't possibly be. So the first one is this. Etivei Abaye. We're in the middle of the page, basically. The first words on the line are Heimenu Get. Kidsha B'Taut U'Pachot Misha V'Pruta. What if he marries her in a mistaken way, okay, based on a mistake, which is like our case, or pachot mishavapruta, he married her with less than a shavapruta, okay, that's a certain amount that if he's going to marry her with money, it has to be of value. V'chein katan shekidesh, okay, or katan that did kiddushin, whereas kiddushin is not valid, a katan can't do kiddushin. Afal pish shalach tzivlonot la'achar mikein, even though he sent gifts after, and then you could say, well, the gifts were mahaveh the kiddushin, because that was money. Eina mekudeshet. Shemachmat kiddushin arishonim shalach. He didn't have the intent to do it based on, to do a new act of kiddushin. He was just doing it based on the previous act, which really wasn't effective. Ve'im ba'alu, but if he had sex with her, then kanu, then it would work. The assumption is the bi'ilah was done with the right intent, you know, with the intent to do kiddushin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amar Im Ba'alu Lo Kanu. Okay? And he disagrees and he says, no, even if he had sex with her, still he wasn't Kone. The assumption was he wasn't intending to do a new act of Kiddushin there, and therefore not. So what do you see here? V'ha-ha-cha d'ta'ut isha'achati u'pligi. And what was the that started out with? Kidsha B'Taut. Isn't that our case? In which case, what do you see here? Kidsha B'Taut is a machloket. And the whole thing we're going to keep trying to say is, in Kidsha B'Taut, Isha Achat, Kulei Alma. Everyone would agree that she doesn't need a get. And here there's a machloket. So if there's a machloket, it must be, right? You see, pligi. So now they say, no, my love, Ta'ut Nidarim. What, you thought this was Ta'ut Nidarim? Like he married her thinking she didn't have Nidarim, and it turned out she did, like our case? Lo. Ta'ut pachot mishavapruta. It was a ta'ut that he didn't realize. I guess here you could say either he didn't realize that you needed a shavapruta, or he didn't realize that it wasn't a shavapruta what he married her with. It was a ta'ut with the issue of pachot mishavapruta. So what do you... Now they say, wait. Pachot mishavapruta behedi ketanilan. It says, kidsha b'ta'ut u pachot mishavapruta. So how could you say that those are, that's all one case? Those are two separate cases. So kidsha b'ta'ut can't possibly be pachot mishavapruta. So they say, no. Perushe kamefarish. The second words here, pachot mishavapruta, are explaining what the kidsha b'ta'ut is. Kidsha b'ta'ut ketzad. Kigon she kidsha b'pachot mishavapruta. Okay? That was the mistake. So it's not two separate cases. It's one coming to explain the other. B'mayka miflegei. So then what's the root of the machloket here? Mar savar adam yodea she'en kiddushin tofsim b'pachot v'shavar pruta. V'gamar uba'al l'shem kiddushin. So one guy says, everybody knows that kiddushin aren't tofsim b'pachot v'shavar pruta, and therefore when he did the bi'ilah, he knew that his first act wasn't good. In other words, he was kidshavato b'pachot v'shavar pruta, for whatever reason, even though they say everyone knows that that's the case. But anyway, then he obviously realizes that that's no good. So when he did the be'ilah, he did it l'shem kiddushin, and that's why he would be konen. But mar savar, ein adam yodea she'en kiddushin tofsim b'pachot v'shavar pruta, v'chi kaba'al adata d'kiddushin arishonim ba'al. Okay, so now, right, the second guy says, no, you can't assume, this is a good thing, we're going to see this in other cases today, where how much can you assume people know about halacha? Okay, so here, he says, you can't assume everybody knows that that's the case. And therefore, just because he did be'ilah doesn't mean anything. He could have thought it was based on the original kiddush. So in any case, what do we have here? We basically said that this case has nothing to do with our case. So it doesn't it's a whole different machloket, not relevant. Next question. Etive, another question of Abaya Rabba. Hareini bo'alech amanat shirtze abba. Apo pishalo ratza abba mikudeshe. If he says, I'm going to sleep with you, you know, to marry you, under the condition that your father is happy. Okay? I assume it's your father, right? Her father? Right? In other words, if your father's happy with the marriage, I should just double check this. It says here his father in the explanation. Okay. Fine. So as long as my father approves. Okay? So now, if Ratza Ha'av, Apa Pishalo Ratza Ha'av, even if he doesn't say, yes, I approve, Mikudeshet. Okay? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Ratza Ha'av, Mikudeshet. Lo Ratza Ha'av, Ena Mikudeshet. Okay, now what do they say here? Okay, so now what are they saying? Isn't this the same as our case? Because he did it without, right, he was Ba'al al Tanai, right, that is the exact same thing. He makes a Tanai, and then in the end, he just goes ahead and sleeps with her. Okay, so now they say no, that's not the case. The issue here is a totally different thing. Hata b'hakam b'flege. Mar savar amanat shir tehaav, amanat shir shokaav, v'hashatikle. Umar savar amanat shir yomar abba hein, v'ha lo amar abba hein. Okay, what's the issue here? When you say amanat shir tehaav, do you mean amanat shir shokaav, and he won't disapprove? Or is it that the father has to actually say the words, I approve? And that's the issue. So when the father's quiet, they're going to have a machloket. Is his silence considered that he didn't approve, or is his silence considered that he did approve? Again, going back to this whole issue of how does the halacha perceive people's reactions, right? And that is when their reactions aren't clear cut, how do we understand it? And therefore, again, the machloket has nothing to do with this. Etive, next one. Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, here's a crazy case. We actually saw this in Yavama. We've talked about this many times. When a father marries off a daughter, it's kiddushin midoraita, right? He marries her off, they're married midoraita, okay? That's a good kiddushin. If a ktana marries herself off, it's kiddushin midorabanan. So if the father marries her off, then he dies. Okay? So he's not... Oh, no. Sorry. He doesn't die. I'm confusing it because it says Yitoma. No. Sorry. The father marries her off. Then she gets divorced from that marriage. Now, we learned this also. Once she gets divorced, she doesn't go back to her father's Rashut. So she now, if she's still a Ketana, she has absolutely no way of getting married midoraita. Okay? So, what happens? So, Ketana shisya viha, that's the first one, kidusha midoraita, v'nitgersha. Then she has gerushin, right? Midoraita. So she's married now, and then she's divorced midoraita. What happens? V'hi yitoma b'chaya av. They call her a yitoma, even though the father's still alive, because the father no longer has zchuyo, you know, he can't, no rights to her. V'hichzira. Then she remarries. Okay, this kiddushin is now what? Dirabana. Okay, she's now married midorabana. Now, it doesn't say the words here, but if obviously they're going to talk about chalitza, so what happens? The husband dies. Okay? So now, what's the story? She, midorabanan, she's chayaving yibum. Midoraita, what's the problem? She, midoraita, she's divorced from the guy's brother, from the yabam's brother. So she, and that's called grushat achiv, and she can't marry grushat achiv. So because of the issue of grushat achiv, she now can't do yibum. However, midorabanan, she's chayaving yibum. So we saw sorts of cases like this, and generally we say, choleza velomet yabemet, mipnei she gerusheha gerushin gemurim, ve'en chazarata chazara gemura, right? The second marriage is not a good marriage. So now we're going to see, though, there's a caveat. Bamed varim amurim, when does this work? Kishi gersha kashi ktana, right? She got divorced when she was still young. Bihzira kashi ktana, and he brought her back, remarried her when she was still a ktana. Aval gersha kashi, okay, and that's the case. But gersha kashi ktana, bihzira kashi gdola, okay, or because then hechzirak she gdola, then she'd be married. Midoraita, no problem. So what if she was grushat achiv? At this point, she isn't grushat achiv. Oh, shehechzira kashehi ktana. Here's the important case for our purposes. Vigadla etzlo. Now we're going to get into a machloket. Why? Because, again, when he does the bia, when she's a gdola, is he now doing a new act of kiddushin where it turns into kiddushin d'oraita, or is it just al dat the original kiddushin? So, umet, right, and then he dies. Oh, choletev omet yabemet. Okay, what do they say? In both those cases, according to Tanakama, oh, choletev omet yabemet, bishu. Okay, and that's because, according to the Tanakama, what happened when he did the bi'ilah, it was a new bi'ilah, new kiddushin. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer amru, choletev elomet yabemet. Okay, right. There's a machloket here, and that's our whole point. That there's a machloket, and not Kulei Alma says tzricha get when we're talking about one woman and two different acts of kiddushin here, or possible acts of kiddushin. V'ha'acha dekita'ut isha chatami upligi. So now they say no. Hatamnami b'ha'kam upligi. This goes back to the same thing we saw before. Mar savar adam yodea she'en kiddushei ktana klum. Everybody knows, according to one guy, the kiddushei ktana is nothing. V'gamar uba'al l'shem kiddushin. So when she becomes a gdola, obviously the first act of bila with her is going to be l'shem kiddushin. It's the exact same thing as before, right? Everybody knows that kiddushin b'chavishav pruta doesn't work. So when he does the bila, it's to create a new act. Umar sevar ein adam yodea she'en kiddushei ktana klum. Not everybody knows that. B'chi kaba'al, what? It's like everyone says, right, your birthday, are you a different person, right? Nothing's really changed. When he does the bi'ilah, it's the exact same act of bi'ilah he always does, and it's all connected to the first act of kiddushin. He doesn't like have a remarriage, you don't, you know, renew your vows kind of thing. It's just a continuation, and therefore they're always married, only midrabanan. B'chi kaba'al, adat et kiddushin arishonim kaba'al. Okay, fine. That's the end of the questions of Abaye on Rabbah. Okay. Itmar Nami, okay, another place we're going to say another statement about our topic. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, ha-mekadesh al-tnai u-ba'al, divrei ha-kol ena tzricha himenu get. Okay, if you make a kiddushin al-tnai, and then you do be'ilah, everybody agrees that you don't need a get. Okay, this is the exact same thing? Right, it's the exact same thing. It's not different, is it? I'm trying to think, right, it sounds like the exact same thing we've been saying. Okay. Etive Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Bar Achte. Okay, his nephew, okay, he's Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, who was the son of his sister. Chalitza Mut'et Kshera. Okay, if you remember, we learned this in Yavama. What's this case? We don't know exactly what this means. If you do a Chalitza Mut'et, it's Kshera. Okay, a messed up Chalitza or a mistaken Chalitza. So now we're going to have a machloket as to what this is. Ezohi chalitza mut'et. Amar Rish Lakish, kol she'omer lo chlotzla, ubekach ata konsa. If somebody says to the guy, remember we learned this, that right, as incentive to get the guy to do chalitza, they say, oh, do chalitza, and with that you'll be married to her. Okay, so if you do that, that's a chalitza mut'et, and it works. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how could you possibly say that? Ani shoneh, bein shenit kavenhu, velonit kavnahi. בין שנתכוונה היא ולא נתכוון הוא, חליצתה פסולה עד שהתכוונו שניהם. ואת אמרת חליצתה כשרה? How can you possibly say this is kosher? We learned that they both need to have kavanah. Kavanah means you have to have kavanah for the right act. He has kavanah that he's doing an act of marriage rather than an act of breaking the relationship. It can't possibly be. So Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation. Ella, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is going to be relevant for our purposes. Kol she'omer lo chlotz la al minat she'titen lach 200 zuz. Do you remember this?
Yes.
If he says, right, do chalitza so that, right, and I will give you, she will give you 200 zuz. And what happens? She never gives him the money. So what do you hear? This is a perfect case of al tanai, right? There's a tanai here that never gets fulfilled. Alma kevan de avi maase achule achle litna. Since he actually does the act of chalitza without getting the money, it's clear that he's basically canceling out the tnai. So hachanami kevan de baal achule achle litna. Okay, litnai. So it's the same thing here. The maaseh shows that he's basically doesn't really care about the money. Okay, right? Like it's like one of those exchanges you do with the guy steals the money. He says, "I'll give it back to you if you give me the money." And you make sure before you do the act that it's all at the same time, so that nobody plays games with you. And since he did the act without getting the money, so it's clear he was mochel on it. So what do you see here? The kichal tanai. Not everybody agrees that that it doesn't work, right? Because here you see that it does work.
And so draw an analogy between chalitza.
Exactly.
You can say that it's just not comparable.
So you could say it's not comparable, right?
Like apples to oranges.
Right.
Maybe there's a lower bar for chalitza.
Yes, you could say that, right? They don't go in that direction, but you could say there's a difference. So Amarle Bar Be'Rav Shapir Kamarta. Well, he says to him, "What? Do you really think what you're saying is a good claim?" Michti kol tanai mehecha gamrinan. Where do we learn? So the truth is, yeah, that is what they're going to say. Sorry. They're going to distinguish between chalitza and marriage, but, right, about a particular issue, you'll see, about the shlichut aspect of it. Okay? So now, what is he saying? Michti kol tanai mehecha gamrinan. Where do we learn the whole dinim of tanaim? Now, we're going to find this in lots of places. We learn it from tanai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven. That was the tanai there is in the Torah. B'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, right? He said, if you go chamushim b'fnei b'nei Yisrael, right, then you can have this land in the Ever Hayardin. So what do you say? What's the tanai? What's unique about this tanai? Tana'a de'efshar l'kiyume al yedei shaliach. Would they... Their tanai was a tanai that the act that they were doing a tanai about was fighting. They could have sent messengers to do it for them. Ki hatam have tanai tanaa dilo efshar lekiyum al yedei shaliach. Ki hatam lo have tanaa. Okay, so they're saying, what's the difference between chalitza and marriage? That marriage you can do al yedei shaliach. But chalitza, you can't do al yedei shaliach. You have to actually do yourself. Okay, so it's unique halacha about chalitza, which means that's why the tanai doesn't work. Because you can't take a tanai in something that you can't send a shaliach for. There was an interesting explanation I saw in the Koran for this. I'll lose my right now, so I'm just going to open it. What kind of act can you send a shaliach to do? It's an act that you have total control over the act. So this is quoted in the name of... Who says this? Tosfot. It comes up in Tosfot, apparently. So he says that if you have such control over an act that you can perform, that you can give a shaliach, then you can also start stipulating conditions. But if you're not in a strong enough position to be able to appoint someone else to do it for you, then you can't necessarily stipulate conditions. It's a matter of how much control you have over the act. It's one interpretation. There's others also. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting to try to bring some logic to what the basis of this is. Okay. So now, they ask, but wait a minute. If you're saying the kiddushin can be performed al yedei shaliach, what did we learn? There's three ways to do kiddushin. Kesef, shtar, and bia. Now, bia, obviously you can't perform al yedei shaliach. We saw this actually a few days ago also. So v'ha bia delo efshar l'kiyum al yedei shaliach ki hatam v'ka have tna'a, right? And we said it is a tanai, right? It does work. So what do they say? That's because we have a pasuk about ki yikach ish isha, and since 2 out of 3 it works for us, so we just kind of compare that. You know, that case gets sort of batel to the other ones. Okay. Amrav Ula bar Abba Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar Hamikadesh b'malveh b'milveh uba'al al tnai uba'al b'pachot mishav pruta uba'al one second. No, sorry, I read this wrong. Hamikadesh b'milve uba'al, al tnai uba'al, b'pachot mishav pruta uba'al. Okay, so one, he said, I have a loan out. I'm going to be mikadesh you with this loan. Okay? And then he sleeps with her. Or al tnai, he does a kiddushin al tnai, and then he sleeps with her. That's our case. Or p'chot mishav pruta, and then he sleeps with her. Tivrei hakol tzricha imenu get. Okay, everybody agrees that you need a get, that the marriage works. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami, Hamakadesh b'pachot mishav pruta uba'al, tzricha imenu get. Beha hu delo tai, aval behanach tai. One second. Right, this is the, right, okay. He's saying, this is a different situation. He's saying, a different opinion. He's saying that when it comes to the pachot mishav pruta, then she would need a get, okay? The first opinion said, in all these cases, you don't need a get. Again, what's the logic of the first case? Because ein adam oseh bilato bilatznu. So anytime he's going to sleep with her, he's obviously going, okay, this goes back to the first opinion we saw of Abaye, that ein adam oseh bilato bilatznu. But now Rabbi Yosef bar Abba comes and says, in the name of Rabbi Ami, that when it comes to the pachot mishav pruta, we can assume that he made a mistake, okay? Sorry, b'ha'u she'eno de'lo ta'e, and therefore, no, we're saying no one would ever make a mistake and think that b'pachot mishav pruta she's married, and therefore when he did the be'ila, he did it l'shem kiddushin, and she would need a get. But b'hanach ta'e, but in the other cases, m'kadesh b'milveh, m'kadesh al t'nai, he thinks that she's actually married. Okay? But the people don't really know that you can't actually marry someone in this way. Okay? Why would he think? I'm just thinking. Right. So each one is different. What's the situation? The milva, what's the problem? It's not there, right? He needs to have something physically, money there. Right? Right. So why doesn't... One second. The milva case is like this. She owes him money, and he says, right, he says, I'll be mochel you on your loan. And that doesn't work because, one second, it doesn't work. Right, so milva, they say milva lahotza'a nitna, halva'a is meant, she hasn't ever given back the same money. And because it's not the same money, so the money becomes hers, basically. And he's actually not giving her any new money, basically. And that's like, being mocha l'chov is not like actually passing money. It's not an actual kinyan. You can't do a kinyan like that. So with the milva case, that we just assume that people don't really know that that's the case. People don't understand how kinyanim work. And when it comes to the t'nai, the mistake is he doesn't know that you didn't fulfill her t'nai. Okay? So that's the two situations there. Okay. Amarav kahana mishmei de'ula. Hamakadesh al tnayu ba'al, tzricha himenu get. Okay, so again, we're seeing lots of, you know, everyone's being mityaches to this issue. So, here they say you need a get. Ze haya ma'aseh, ve'lo haya koch b'chachamim lehotziya b'lo get. Okay, so now there was a ma'aseh that happened, and someone did it al tnay, and the chachamim felt like we had to... right. So what it sounds like from here is that midoraita, you don't really need a get. But the chachamim were machmir and did it anyway. That's the lashon seems to indicate that. Okay, but now they say la'afuke, okay, this is to disagree with mehai tana da amar of Yehuda amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Yishmael v'hi lo nitpasa. I remember this famous pasuk by the Sota. V'hi lo nitpasa asura ha nitpasa muteret. Right, so if she was not raped,
right? Then she's forbidden. That's if the sota sleeps with a guy, not in a rape case. She's forbidden to her husband. But if she was raped, then it would be muteret. V'yesh lach acheret. Remember we had v'hi, they learned out. That adds an extra case. V'yesh lach acheret. She'af al pi shelo nitpasa muteret. V'ezo. Okay, here's an additional case. We saw, by the way, different opinions about this, what the extra case is, and whether it's an extra case of Isser or an extra case of Heter. Here's a new one. I don't think we saw this one, although I could be wrong. Shekidusha kidushe ta'ut. Oh, no, we did see this. Shafilu binam ukava ktefa mima'enet veholechet la. Right? This was a case, if she gets married accidentally to her husband, and then she sleeps with someone else, right? Even if she had a son to show for it, meaning what? Even if the bi'ilah, right, they had bi'ilah. But here you see that even if she has a son to show for it, she just walks out of the marriage, she doesn't actually need a get. Okay? So this shows us what? That again, this is against the first guy who said, Mekadesh al tanayu ba'al tzricha himenu get. And here we see that she doesn't need a get, she just walks out. Right, even if Kidesh and then Baal, and here they even have a child, it doesn't matter, she could still get up and walk out of the marriage. So what you see from all this is that there's a lot of different opinions about how they viewed this. You know, it went through generations of different opinions about whether she needs to get, doesn't need to get, depending on the situation, depending on the case. Okay, here we're going to continue with some more cases, but it's a little bit of a switch here. Tana Rabbanan, Halcha Eitzel Chacham V'Hitira Mekudeshet. Okay, let's say she okay, kichaltnai, that she doesn't have nidarim, right? Then he baal, then she goes to a chacham after the marriage and gets it canceled. So what do we say? She's mekudeshet. She stays married to her husband because now the tnai is fulfilled. Although we'll see, not everyone agrees. Etza rofe viripeota ena mekudeshet. Let's say she has a mum. Okay, and he said, I'm marrying you, I'm not that you don't have a mum. And then he cures her, so she's not mechudeshet. So now they say, ma ben chacham lerofe, chacham oker taneder mi'ikaro, v'rofe eno merape ela mikanu l'haba. Okay, right. So the chacham, when you write your neder, you usually say, had I known the ramifications, I never would have made the neder from the beginning. And the chacham, when he mantras it, it's meikar. So therefore, it shows that basically, from the time he was makadish, you really didn't have a neder because it's all erased. Whereas the mum was there to begin with. So first of all, the mum also, we talked about that. It had to, sometimes the mum we're referring to had something to do with her private areas or something. And the some of the mafreshim explained that it could be that even if you get cured from something, like the image is imprinted in his head, you know, he feels like you had a moon there and that there's some mental block against it. In other words, whereas a neder isn't a physical thing that once it disappears, it's not, doesn't have any, yeah, you could argue with it. You can't argue with it, but with that claim.
And it's also at the moment of the marriage counts. At the moment of the marriage, if retroactively she didn't have a neder at all, she can, the marriage
right.
Was good, but at the moment of the marriage, there was a moon. So
right, exactly. Right, that's also true, that it was existing at that moment. So even though the neder also did exist at the moment,
but
the way it works, exactly. The chacham basically cancels it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to see an opposite opinion. V'hatanya, it's a chacham v'itira, it's a rofe v'ripeota, ein a mekudeshet. Neither of these cases work. Okay, so now they're going to say, Amarava, lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Elazar. Okay, what's the difference? Two different opinions, okay? There's a disagreement about it. Why? Ha Rabbi Meir da Amar, Adam rotze shetitpaze ishto bebeitin. Ha Rabbi Elazar da Amar, Ein Adam rotze shetitpaze ishto bebeitin. What's the issue? Here we have a really interesting thing. When a woman goes to court to matir her neder or to a chacham, some husbands think that that's an embarrassment. To go to be matir a neder is embarrassing, right? If you think about it, I don't know if you ever go, but when people do hatarat nederim in shul, so usually there's a general hatarat nederim we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you know some people do it Erev Yom Kippur, whatever, and everybody stands and is matir their nederim generally, but if someone has a particular neder to matir, they get up also then, and they're matir. I mean, you could do it any time of year, but if people know, like, if they're already doing it, then people sometimes say, oh, I did this neder, I want to cancel it. So now it's a little embarrassing to get up and say this and that. Now again, it goes back to the whole Mishnah of, you know, the Kisoy Rosh and all that, about things that are embarrassing to the husband. It's an embarrassment for him, for his wife to get up in court and say, I did this neder and I want to matir it. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, if she goes to a chacham lahatir et haneder, still, right, since a person, what's the whole thing with a neder? It's like not pleasant for him to have his wife with these nederim on her. Likewise, it's not pleasant for him, for his wife to go and matir her nederim. And therefore, if he doesn't like that, then basically the marriage is no good. Basically, the Tanai, he said, I don't want nedarim on you, which meant also, I don't want you doing things, right? It's another breach of contract, basically, in addition to all the others, right? So therefore, she's Anna Mekudeshet. Although the truth is, I have to think about this, because if that's the case, then really she should, it shouldn't be that she's not even married, it should be that she's Tetzei B'lo Ketuvah. So it has to be even more than that, right? If you think about it, it has to be... Right, when he married her omanat that she doesn't have nedarim, this is the issue. He married her omanat that she doesn't have nedarim and that she won't cancel any that she has, because that's also not good for him. That's how you have to understand it. Right. Okay, it's all connected as part of his t'nai. Okay, now we're going to see where we learn this. And here we see an interesting four-way machloket about a different issue. And of these four opinions, the last two are going to be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, where they each say either an Adam Rotzeh Shetitpazeh Ishto or Adam Rotzeh. For that, we're going to get to two other opinions. It's a very interesting case. Ditznan. Okay, there's a Mishnah in Gittin. Hamotziat Ishto Mishum Neder Lo Yachzir. Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir. If someone divorces his wife because of a neder she took, or because he said, you know, I think you're sleeping around with someone, okay, there were rumors spread about her, he's not allowed to take her back. Okay? This is very interesting. Why is he not allowed to take her back according to Tanakhama? Because what's the concern here? First of all, I think you can look at it in a totally different vein, which is that we want to discourage people from getting divorced over things like this. In other words, rumors get spread all the time. And make sure you're really serious before you divorce her. Okay? But the other issue that comes up here is that if, let's say, he divorces her because he thinks she's sleeping around with someone, then what's going to happen? He divorces her. Then she goes, she marries someone else, and then it turns out that she never really was sleeping around with someone. So what happens? The husband goes and says, wait a minute, this divorce was based on just like a mekach ta'ut with a marriage. The divorce was no good, in which case she's going to now have banim who are mamzerim, because it's going to turn out that she was never actually divorced. So the same thing with the neder. If the neder can be hutar afterwards, limafrea, right, from the beginning, retroactively, then again you can say that the get was never a good get, and therefore, retroactively, right, she would end up, she married someone else, and it would mess her up and mess up her kids. So therefore, Tanakhama says, you can't ever bring her back to avoid that problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, depends on what kind of a neder you're talking about. Okay? Kol neder shiyad ubo rabim, lo yachzir. Lo yad ubo rabim, yachzir. It depends on the severity of the neder. If it's a neder that everybody knows about, then it's a much more chamor neder. A neder that's a private neder has less chumrah to it. So he says, if it's a more chamor neder, then we're not going to allow him to bring her. You know, then we're assuming that's like cutting him off forever from her. But if lo yadu barabim, then he could be machzir. So a neder that, okay, so first of all, what's rabim? Rabim is generally b'fnei asara. Lo yachzir, and Rashi says here, kasavar tam amishum shelo yuhu prutzo b'nidarim hu. V'china dra b'fnei rabim, v'zeo neder sho'en lo hafara, prutza yoter midai, kansuha. Here, it's like a knas for making such a neder. Okay, so if she makes a neder like that, she can never go back into the marriage. It's a way of dafka. The first case was to prevent him from kind of messing her up, and here it's really, it's a knas to her. She can never go back to him. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol neder, now we're getting to our opinion, shetzarich hakirat chacham lo yachzir. If it needs a chacham to do it, then he can't bring her back. Why? Because again, it'll cause this retroactive merit, right? Retroactively, the chacham will be matir the neder. When is he matir the neder? From the beginning, right? And then, if he does it from the beginning, then the husband's going to say, oh, well, you were never really divorced from me, in which case, she can't go marry someone else. So, again, they don't allow that. V'she'eno tzarich hakirat chacham, meaning a neder that the husband himself, what does it mean it needs a hakirat chacham? It means that only a chacham can be matir. But if it doesn't need a chacham to be matir, why would that be the case? Because the husband himself can be made for the neder, then yachzir. What's the assumption here? What's the whole assumption? The whole assumption is the husband's going to come later and say, oh, had I known that we could have canceled the neder, I would have canceled the neder and stayed married to my wife. In a case where he can be made for the neder himself, and wasn't made for the neder, it shows that he doesn't care to be made for the neder, and he just wants a divorce. He's so angry at her for making the neder that he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And then there's no issue, there's no concern that later he'll say, had I known I would have been, you know, we could have been made for the neder, I would have stayed married, because he knew that day, he should have done it, and he didn't do it. But comes Rabbi Elazar, and here's our crux of our issue, lo asru tzarich elam epnei she'eno tzarich. Okay, it's not written clearly. What does it mean? They weren't osir the case of tzarich hakirat chacham, okay? Elam epnei she'eno tzarich, except for the case of she'eno tzarich hakirat chacham. What does he mean? In saying in other words, I'm going to say it much simpler. Really, the case that's a problem is the case where he's allowed to be made for the neder and not the chacham. Okay? But they were gozer from that case to the other case. Okay? Meaning, the case of tzarich hakirat chacham really isn't a problem. Why isn't it a problem? Because a person is never willing to let his wife be mitbazeh bifnei beitin. So therefore, dafka, in the case where you need a chakirat chacham, we're not concerned. For sure he can divorce her. For sure they're not even, right, it's not even, right, in this case, we're talking about a motzi mishum neder lo yachzir, right? He can't be machzirota because, I'm sorry, one second. He can't be machzirota because we're not worried that he would have said, had I known she could do this, because he never would have wanted to let her go in front of a chacham. It's total humiliation for him. It's dafka in the case where he could have done it, that he could then say, that's the case that's a problem. Because there, he could have said, oh, had I known, I would have canceled it. And then, we're going to basically say, because of that case, we'll go there on the other case. That's what he says. So now, what do you see from Rabbi Meir? Okay, now, b'chalal lavat hashamayah hey. From the fact that Rabbi Meir didn't think that was an issue, he thought, oh, if it can go to a chacham, then dafka, that's where there's a concern. So he obviously holds that that Adam would be mitbaz, and he doesn't care.
Right.
I don't forget the word. Ein Adam. Adam rotzeh she'titbazeh ishto bebeitin. It's a strange lashon, right? It doesn't really mean it's just going against ein Adam rotzeh she'titbazeh ishto, right? But he, okay, comes up on the next daf, basically, after a few lines, when they have a discussion first about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where does he get it from, and what's Rabim, what's a neder b'fnei Rabim, is it 3, is it 10? But then they come and say, what's the machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir? And that's the machloket, about whether he's willing to have Rabbi mitbazeh b'fnei beitin, or he's unwilling to have Rabbi mitbazeh b'fnei beitin, and therefore, does that have anything to do with this? And therefore, that affects the machloket between these two brayto, one must be Rabbi Meir, one must be Rabbi Elazar, about distinguishing, do we distinguish between the chacham case and the rofei case, or do we not distinguish?